I do want to start with a question for all of you at all of our campuses, those of you listening online, our friends up in Highland, North Carolina, our friends in Hilton Head, South Carolina, all of our churches. This is a really important question. In fact, this may be the point of the message for you today. Does everybody have an up-to-date will? Did you know one of the greatest gifts that you can give your family is to have an up-to-date will? And if you're single and you think, well, I don't have any stuff, you know, and nobody's dependent on me, I don't need a will. Yes, you do. In fact, Sandra's executor of a friend of ours, Will, she died in her 80s. She was never married, never had any kids. And we took care of her through the end because she was so kind to my mom toward the end of her life. And so when she died, she had a tiny little estate and she had a pretty good will. 2 years later, Sandra is still trying to get all of that buttoned up. Okay. And it was a good will. So one of the greatest gifts that you can give your family is to make sure you have a will and have it up to date. And I expect all of you to have that buttoned up by next weekend. Okay, so you got a week. Don't delay. Start today. And speaking of today, we are launching a brand new series entitled The Responsibles. This series this is going to be so exciting. This is actually an invitation to join a select group of literally superheroes. They're super citizens, they're super family members, they're employers and employees. It's men, it's women, it's students, it's college students, it's singles, it's married, it's adults. Everybody's invited to be this kind of superhero. And what makes these people super and what makes them amazing is they are taking responsibility for their lives, their past, their future, what's going on currently, their internal life we're gonna talk about, and their external life. These incredible people, they refuse to make excuses, they refuse to blame, and they understand, and this is why this is so important, and this is why you need to become a responsible. They understand that their irresponsibility eventually becomes someone else's responsibility. And the responsibles, they're not having it. That's not who they are. They consider that an epic fail. Now, they don't just consider that irresponsibility. They consider it a fail. The responsibles, these are the people that clean up what they mess up. These are the people that look around to make sure they're fully carried. They're carrying their weight. They're carrying their load. That nobody else is having to take responsibility for their irresponsibility. This is just who they are. They're the best neighbors. They're the best friends. They're the best bosses. They're the best employees. They're the best sons and daughters and husbands and wives. And all of us, this is not a religious thing or a Christian thing. This is just a general invitation for all of us to join this elite group of people. So for the next few weeks, this is a four-part series. We're going to come back to this question over and over and over. And here's the question. And it's not the question you think it is. And it doesn't mean exactly what you think it means. So we're going to kind of tease it out a little bit. But here's the question. Am I taking responsibility for my life? Am I taking responsibility for my life? I would love for all of us at all of our churches, and even if you're just listening and driving, I would love for all of us to say this out loud together, because this is a question we should ask every single day, because this is the invitation to become a superhero in your community and in your family and in our nation, really. Ready, all together? Am I taking responsibility for my life? Yeah, for my actions, for my reactions, for my obligations, and for my future obligations. And I know the answer to the question for you. As soon as you ask it out loud, internally you said, well, yes, I am. I'm taking responsibility for my life. But you know people who aren't, and you are not one of those people. So this series isn't even for you, but you may pass it along to that neighbor who leaves their trash cans out on the street all week long and just brings the trash down in the car, gets out of the car. Everybody else takes their trash cans back up to their garage, but not them. And everybody on the street just hates them, but nobody's going to say anything. And you're like, you are not one of those people, right? But before you check out, before you decide this series isn't for you, this is super important. The question is not, are you a responsible person? That's a different question. You are. But the focus of this series is not, do you pay your bills and do you show up for work and do you show up for school and even do you show up for church? Yes, you do. In other words, you follow through on what's expected of you, because in most cases, what's expected of you, there is an immediate penalty if you don't do what's expected of you. But our question is different. Our question is broader. Our question requires all of us to look back and, as we're going to see, look ahead. Are you owning or are you taking responsibility for the things left unattended in your past? And are you preparing for the eventualities of the future, the things that you know are going to eventually show up in your life? And this is a very challenging question for all of us, me included. I work way ahead and I just sit in this content, you know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, and it's so challenging to get up here and talk about something that's a challenge to all of us, including me. And this is gonna be a challenging series for all of us because if it hasn't already, it's gonna make most of us feel bad about ourselves. And we've been taught that the worst thing in the world is to feel bad about ourselves. Because when you feel bad about yourself, it hurts your feelings. And this series is gonna hurt your feelings. And if you're honest, and if I'm honest, we're gonna hurt our own feelings. But there is something worse than feeling bad about yourself. And maybe no one's told you that before. I bet they have, or you'll figure it out as an adult, right? There's something worse than feeling bad about yourself. Namely, refusing to acknowledge and address something bad about ourselves. That's worse than feeling bad about yourself. Because if we're not willing to acknowledge and address the things that are bad about ourselves, we will continue to stay in the same doom loop and some habits and some ways of thinking that penalize us and eventually penalize other people. And that's bad, and that's bad for you. So our question, am I taking responsibility for my life, requires an honest look in the mirror. And let's just be honest about an honest look in the mirror. The easiest person in the world for you to deceive is the person in the mirror. Because you have a little salesperson in your head like I have a little salesperson in my head. And the salesperson in my head, that person's voice sounds exactly like mine. And my voice can sell me on the worst ideas. And your little voice in your head has sold you on your worst ideas. You've bought some ridiculous stuff. You've borrowed money on for some, I mean, it goes on and on and on. But within the context of this particular series, that little voice in your head will defend you and defend you and defend you and excuse you and excuse you and excuse you to the point of never taking responsibility for your past and refusing to plan and take responsibility for your future. So this requires an honest look in the mirror. And it requires us to be honest with ourselves, really, because there's so much at stake. And it's easy to see what's at stake when you look at other people around you who haven't taken responsibility for their lives, but somehow we all think we're gonna be the exception. And to be honest, and this is where we kind of lose all of our excuses, whether you're a religious person or not. To refuse to address our irresponsibility, you know what it makes us? It doesn't just make us irresponsible. This is a little bit harsh, okay? It makes us hypocrites. Don't answer out loud. Do you wanna be a hypocrite? In fact, if you're not a religious person or a Christian person, one of the things you would say you don't like about Christian people or church people or religious people is the church is full of hypocrites, and that's true, it is full of hypocrites, but that just means you think being a hypocrite's bad. So just let me ask you, if you're not a religious person or a Christian person, do you wanna be a hypocrite? I thought I should define it for us in case we don't know what a hypocrite is. I made this definition up. It may not even be right. Someone who pretends to do but doesn't do what they expect others around them to do. Isn't that what a hypocrite is? Someone who pretends to do, looks like, you know, on the outside, I got it all buttoned up. Someone who pretends to do but doesn't actually do what they expect others around them to do. And here's what I know about you. We've never met. You expect the people around you to take responsibility for their life, right? You expect the people around you to take responsibility for their actions. If they do something, they need to admit they did it and then fix it. Clean up the mess, not leave you with the mess. You expect them to take responsibility for their reactions. They overreacted. Now they've created a problem in the workplace. They've created a problem in the neighborhood. They've created a problem, you know, at home. And they need to take responsibility for those reactions and own it and quit making excuses. You want the people around you to take responsibility for their kids. Because they're ruining your dining experience. Would you please take responsibility? It's your child. I would like to parent your child in this moment, but I would be arrested. So I need you to parent your child because it's ruining my dining experience, right? Isn't that? And you expect people to pay their taxes and pay their bills and pay their debts and get their trash cans off the street. This is, we every single day of our life before this day is over, even in the next few minutes, there's something in all of us that just expects the people around us and that we work with and live with to take responsibility for their lives. So if you don't do what you expect other people to do, that makes you a hypocrite. And you don't want to be a hypocrite. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. Now I've hurt your feelings. I told you, we're all going to get our feelings hurt. But there's things worse than feeling bad about yourself. It's knowing something there's bad about yourself and refusing to do something about it. So we're going to do something about it. Okay, but that leads us to this. Why are we talking about this in church? I mean, in church, we're supposed to talk about religious things and Christian things and Jesus things and you know, love one another in prayer. But why in the world are we talking about this? And this is why. This is why we're going to talk about it for 4 weeks. Because living responsibly and taking responsibility for your life is the will of your Father in heaven. That's going to become abundantly clear throughout this series, including in this first episode. That it is God's will for you, as we're going to see in a minute, because of how you're designed. It is God's will for you to take responsibility, not just live responsibly, but to take responsibility for your life. And if you're a Jesus follower, in other words, if it's you're more than just the Christian who believes a bunch of stuff, but you're one of this growing number of people all over our nation who are like, hey, it's not just about believing, it's about behaving. I've got to do what Jesus called me to do because doing is what makes the difference. If you're that kind of a Jesus follower, then you absolutely have to take responsibility for your life, because as you walk Jesus through the Gospels and he walks you through his life and you read what his apostles wrote later on, it's so very clear that living responsibly and taking responsibility for our life is where your king will lead you if you decide to follow. And why would this be the will of your heavenly Father? And why would your king care? Two reasons. Number one, it's good for you. And it's good for the people around you. And if God is love and if God really loves you, then he cares for you and he cares what you do and he cares about the things that you do that negatively impact you. And because he cares about the people around you and because as followers of Jesus, we're to let our light shine in such a way that people see our good works, not imagine our good thoughts, but see our good works and connect our good works and our deeds to our Father in heaven, then of course it's good for the people around you that we take responsibility for our lives, because when we don't, it eventually dings somebody else. It eventually dumps something on somebody else. We penalize other people eventually if we don't take responsibility for our life. So of course your heavenly Father would care. And of course Jesus would want his people to be the most responsible citizens in any community and would want his followers to be the most responsible people on the planet. Because taking responsibility for our lives is part of what it means not simply to be a Jesus follower, but what it means to be human. Here's why I say that. You were created in the image of God, which means you were created for responsibility and you were created with responsibility. This is important, that your responsibility isn't just something you have. Your responsibility is something that you are. It is baked into what it means to be human, because we are all part of a community. Whether you want to be in a community or not, you can't exist, you can't survive without community. And part of being in a healthy community are for the people in those communities to take responsibility for their lives and to take responsibility for their actions. We were designed this way. And here's the thing, and you can think about this later if you don't believe me. When you dodge, when you avoid, when you duck out of, when you turn your back on what you are responsible for, you lose a piece of you. You literally, you leave a piece of you behind. Now, let me tell you who is most aware of this, our parents or grandparents. Or if you can just remember growing up in the home you grew up in, maybe you can relate to this as well. But if I can just speak as a parent for just a minute. Every parent experiences this. When a child refuses to take responsibility for their actions, whether they're 11 years old or they're middle school or high school or college, doesn't matter. When a parent sees one of their children refusing to take responsibility for something they've done, whether it's in school, at work, at home, when a parent sees that, do you know what the parent feels? The parent feels like, wait. You can't just move on wait, honey, wait, you gotta come back. Honey, you gotta call her. You've gotta go next door and apologize. You can't just move on. You've gotta come back. You've gotta come back and pick this up. You've gotta come back and clean this up. You know, honey, you've got to take responsibility. And as a parent, when we see one of our kids just kind of move on like it doesn't matter and refuse to look back, it scares us. Because here's what we know as adults, that if they are irresponsible, and if this becomes a habit or a pattern, irresponsibility reduces them and it reduces their potential for the rest of their life. Because we know what happens to irresponsible people. But what's true of our kids or our grandkids or the kids that live next door to you is true for you as well. Your irresponsibility reduces you as well. You literally leave a piece of you behind. The irresponsibility makes you small, and it makes you smaller in the estimation of other people. And eventually it makes you small in your own estimation, because you begin to believe the narrative, you begin to believe the lies, you begin to believe the excuses, but there's something in you and you know you aren't telling you or other people the truth. And there's a piece of you you've left behind. It forces you to hide behind your excuses. And all the time, you're getting smaller and smaller and smaller. If you don't believe me, just turn it around. Isn't it true that when somebody steps up and takes responsibility for their past, when somebody steps up and takes responsibility for something they've said, isn't it true they get bigger and they grow in our estimation? I mean, we're experiencing this right now because we're in a political season. And there are, you know, political leaders who are trying to get reelected, and there are people who are trying to get elected for the first time. And regardless of which party you're for, and regardless of who your person is, isn't it true that when you hear a politician be called out on something they actually said or something they actually did, and the moment they start to make excuses, and the moment they're like, no, that wasn't me, as soon as they start making excuses, even if they're your person, isn't it true they don't get bigger in your estimation, they get smaller? And don't we long for the day when our national leaders and our community leaders are willing to say, you know what, that is what I said and I was wrong. I mean, we don't lose respect in that moment. We gain respect. They don't get smaller, they get bigger. It's the person that refuses to take responsibility for what we know they're responsible for. They shrink and they shrink and they shrink and they shrink. And what's true of them, it's true of you. Let me put it this way. When you try to sweep, when you try to sweep your irresponsible behavior under a rug, you actually leave a part of you under the rug. Because your responsibility isn't just something you do, it is something you are, it is something you were born with. Taking responsibility for our actions, reactions, and lack of action is what keeps us whole. It's what keeps us healthy. It's what keeps us complete. If you're single, let's just listen to me for a minute, okay? College student, single adult, doesn't matter. Single again, listen. Taking responsibility for your past, taking responsibility for your life, this is how you ensure that you can bring all of you, not just part of you, to a relationship. This is how you ensure that you're able to bring all of you, not just part of you, to a relationship. Taking responsibility for our lives frees us. It frees us from the lies we tell ourselves, and it frees us from the excuses that we sell ourselves. But as I said, there are two reasons our Heavenly Father cares about this. There are two reasons that Jesus, our King, cares about this. Being responsible is good for you, but it's also good for the people around you. Because again, we're not the only people affected by our irresponsibility. And this is why, this is imperative. This is not an add-on. This isn't you get extra credit for this. This is absolutely imperative for Jesus followers. Because again, our irresponsibility eventually robs someone of something that they deserve to keep, that we ding their life. They're left to clean up our mess. It costs them financially. It costs them relationally, right? Our irresponsibility eventually robs other people. Eventually, your irresponsibility becomes somebody's re. Every single time it trickles down, it shows up somewhere. Your irresponsibility will become somebody's responsibility. And perhaps it already is. Perhaps it already has happened. And this is why. Irresponsibility, 100% of the time, somewhere along the way, creates conflict. It creates conflict inside of us, and it creates conflict with the people around us, which creates conflict between us and our Heavenly Father. Jesus was so clear about this. And we talk about it all the time. And the reason we talk about it all the time is this is something we weren't necessarily told if we were raised in church. And if you weren't raised in church, here's something you should know about Christians that we've let slide off the table that we shouldn't have allowed slide off the table because Jesus was so clear about this. Jesus was so clear. He said, you can't be right with your Father in heaven if you're not right with the people your Father in heaven has put in your life and put in your path. Because your Heavenly Father cares about them like he cares about you. You can't just confess your sins to God and not confess the sins that you've committed against other people. You can't dump your irresponsibility and the results of your irresponsibility in somebody's lap and never go back to them and address it and be right with your Father in heaven. That's not how it works. But because he cares for them like he cares for you. Taking responsibility for me is how I love the people around me. Taking responsibility for you is how you love the people around you. Now, that's the setup. You ready for this? With having said all that, I don't think anybody would disagree. It's like, no, I think irresponsibility is good for me. It's good for my family. In fact, I try to train my kids in the skill of irresponsibility. You know, you don't listen to your mother. Don't listen to your dad. You know, don't clean up your room. Don't ever clean. Make your mom clean up. No, of course we know this. Nobody's taking notes like, wow, I just never thought about this, right? But are you feeling bad about yourself? In fact, some of you still thinking about your will a few minutes ago. It's like, because, you know, you almost got the elbow or, you know, you're just hoping she's or he's not watching because this has been a point of discussion. But here's the point. With all that in mind, this is so amazing. This is why I want everybody, you should read your Bibles. You should read your Bibles. And if you're not a Christian, goodness, if you're not a Jesus follower, a Christian, you have a reason not to be. If I heard your story, I'd be like, yeah, I don't blame you a bit. I get that. But here's what I just can't emphasize enough, and I come back to this over and over, and I will continue to. The teaching of the New Testament in particular, and the teaching of Jesus, and the teaching of the Apostle Paul, who teases out the teaching of Jesus for Gentiles. There are so many one-liners. There are so many nuggets that if people in our community would just do one of these things consistently, it literally would change everything. And what we're about to read that the Apostle Paul wrote is one of those things that would change everything. He wraps some words around this entire idea. He kind of summarizes it in one statement. Again, this would change everything. Listen to this. Ready? I'm just going to read a couple of statements at a time, kind of build this. Here's what he says to first century Christians. And if we just stopped with this first statement and left, it's enough. Give to everyone what you owe them. Give to everyone what you owe them. The people from your past that you never gave them what you owed them, the people in your life now, whether it's an apology or fidelity or money or child support or discipline. If you're married, did you know you owe your spouse discipline? If you're married or in an important relationship, you owe that person time. Give to everyone what you owe them. Then he continues and he gets so practical. Some of you are going to think, and I made this part up and just stuck it in the Bible. Here, listen to, he's going to give some illustrations of what it means to give to people what you owe them. Here's his first illustration to first century Christians. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay your taxes. It's like, whoa, wait, we're in church. We should be talking about prayer, okay? And Jesus stuff, you know, and God stuff. And talk about stuff we can't really understand or do anything about, okay? But why so practical? Because we're Jesus followers. We're supposed to be the best of the best because we follow a king that loves the people around us and loves our community. So Paul says, let's start with something practical. If you owe taxes, pay your taxes. I mean, Jesus, your king, paid a debt he didn't owe. The least we can do is pay the debts that we owe. And then it doesn't get any better. Ready? If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. Money again. Why? Because Jesus followers are part of that elite group of the responsibles. You don't have to come looking for us. You don't have to ask us twice. You don't have to send it to us again. This is what we do. Because we don't want anybody or any organization having to make up for what we messed up. And carry a load or carry a responsibility, whether it's financial or anything else, that ultimately belongs to us. Then he finally gets relational. And this is so powerful. I mean, this would revolutionize just about any damaged or difficult relationship. This is what you wish your parents had done, many of you. He goes on, he says, give to everyone what you owe them. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. High school students, College students, you owe your parents honor and respect. You go, yeah, but they're not always respectable. Look up here. Neither are you. That's not the point, okay? They are your parents. You owe this to them. Yeah, but no, okay. If you're a Jesus follower, there are no excuses. He says, this is what he's saying. In your role, whatever your role is and whatever relationship you want to think about, you have an obligation in that relationship. And as a Jesus follower, you pay what you owe, whether it's honor or respect. Own your obligation. If you said you're going to be there at 8, you show up at 8. If you promise to be ready by Tuesday, it should be ready by Tuesday. And if you're not going to make the Tuesday deadline, you tell them Thursday the week before and you don't wait till Tuesday morning. Because honor and respect, this is what we do. If you're married, we owe. Take responsibility for your physical health. Look, and this is oftentimes more a guy thing than a female thing, but also I'll just pick on the guys. Look, men, do you know why you need to take care of your health? It's not just so you'll look great. Because if you don't take care of your health, chances are your wife is going to have to take care of your irresponsibility and your bad health. So this isn't just about diet and exercise for now. This is how you love your spouse in the future. And it goes both ways. You say, why are we talking about this in church? Because it's so practical and you have a king, right? Your financial habits, men, your financial habits, women, they impact your entire family. So give to people what you owe, and you owe them financial responsibility. It's what you owe. You owe fidelity in body and mind. It's a responsibility. And then the Apostle Paul punctuates this with this amazing statement. I mean, it's just so rich. He says this. I love this. He says, let me just make it really easy for you. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing, present tense, every day, every morning, every night, every afternoon. This is constant. You're never done. You never put this to rest. You don't ever retire this. He says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. In other words, he says, if there are any relational gaps that you've created through your irresponsibility, not doing what you're supposed to do, you need to fill those gaps. You need to step up. If it's a breach of trust you've created or suspicion you've created, and then he finishes it with this. For, in other words, he says, because, let me explain, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. This is why following Jesus is so powerful. He didn't bring 10 commandments or 600 commandments. He said, I'm going to give you one commandment. It's so simple. The problem with this commandment is because there's only one, there's no space between. There's just one. There are no loopholes. There are no workarounds. You are to love as your Father in heaven has loved you. You are to love as Christ loved you. Which means the last thing you're going to do is dump the consequences of your irresponsibility on somebody else. And if you've done that, as a Jesus follower, you go and you apologize and you do what you can to clean it up and make up what you can make up for. It goes back to this question we ask all the time. What does love require of me? That's what this verse is about. What does love require of me? The only debt that should remain outstanding is the continuing daily debt to love the people around me, especially the people that love me, especially the people closest to me. What does love require of you? What does love require of me? What love requires of me is to take responsibility. And what does love require of you? To take responsibility for your life yesterday, today, tomorrow. What does love require? It requires that I go back and clean up what I messed up. It requires that I live in such a way as not to create a future mess for somebody to clean up. That's what love does. That's what following Jesus looks like. That's what the responsibles, this elite group of superheroes, as we're referring to them, that's what this looks like. That's what they do. And that's, look up here, that's what you were created to do. You were created for this because you were made in the image of your extraordinarily responsible, community-minded God. It's how you ensure that you don't leave parts of you behind. So here's what I want you to think about next few weeks. And these are, you know, we're going to give you some questions at the end of today's message. These are great questions for your group to think about. These are great questions for you to contextualize for your kids or your grandkids or roommate, whoever it might be. This is so important. Something to think about. And again, don't lie to yourself. okay? You have a narrative you tell yourself. It's the same story you've told for years and years maybe, but maybe just in this moment, would you be willing to be honest with the person in the mirror? Has your irresponsibility, become someone's responsibility? In other words, is there somebody you've penalized financially? You penalized their time. You penalized their childhood. Is there someone that your irresponsibility has become someone's responsibility? In other words, is there somebody somewhere today hoping, if they heard this message, that they're listening to this message and they're thinking about you, you're the first person that came to mind. Is there someone somewhere who's hoping that you'll pay attention to this message and act on it? And you can't go back in time and you can't reverse the past, but just owning up to the fact that I left you with a mess, and if there's anything I can do, I'm willing to do it now. And I owe you, and I'm a Jesus follower, and I don't want to owe anybody anything except a debt of love. And love requires me to come to you and take responsibility for what I've done, because you've left them shouldering a burden that you should be carrying. Then the flip side of this, we're going to spend a whole week on this. I won't tell you when, or you might not come. Are you currently engaged in something? Come on. Are you currently engaged in something or neglecting something that will in all likelihood create a future mess for someone else to clean up? You see it coming. They see it coming. Other people have warned you and you're like, I'm not worrying about tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. That's not what he's talking about. I'm just gonna worry about today. They're like, hey, I need you to worry about me today by making sure you're ready and we're ready for tomorrow. Are you currently engaged in something or neglecting something that will in all likelihood create a future mess for somebody else to clean up? Are you willing to step up, own up, and do something about it and take responsibility for what's coming? Isn't it true, and I kind of touched on this a minute ago, that for some of you, your parents left you, they didn't just leave you a mess to clean up, they left you a bit of a mess because of how irresponsible they were as parents. They just, for whatever reason, and you know, there's explanations, there were medical things, a mental illness things. I mean, there's all kinds of reasons, but the point is, you've had to dig your way out of a hole. You're continuing to dig out of a hole because of the mess your parents left, because for whatever reason, they just wouldn't take responsibility for their actions. They never considered the future. It's as if they never even considered your future. And yet, of course, as parents, they loved you in some way, but they never asked this question. Am I doing anything right now that has the potential to leave a mess for somebody in the future to clean up? These are the questions that Jesus followers ask. These are the questions that the responsibles ask. These are the questions we've been invited to ask. And here's the thing, it sounds so negative, but it's a privilege. This is our opportunity again to be the best we can possibly be, the best citizens we can possibly be, members and participants in the kingdom of God. To participate in the kingdom of God is to recognize the reign and the rule of God, the reign and the rule of our Savior. And we're saying, I want to get up under the authority of my Savior and live in such a way that I'm participating in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And this is what kingdom of God members do. This is how they live. That's what the responsibles do. That's what you were created to do. So, everybody has an up-to-date will, right? And you're going to have it up-to-date by next week, right? Speaking of right, we're going to pick it up right there next time in part two of The Responsibles. Any questions? No. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you personally for taking responsibility for the ultimate consequence of my sin. And I, above all people, had no excuse because I knew chapter and verse since from childhood. And then thank you, Father, for sending us into this world to reflect your extraordinary responsibility. Thank you for the privilege of responsibility. Thank you for the privilege of what you allow us to do at work, the privilege of being parts of family, the privilege of having parents, the privilege of having kids and grandkids. Thank you for the privilege of living in this amazing nation. We are so blessed. We are so far ahead. Now, Father, in light of that, give us a glimpse of what needs to change so that we're good stewards of the blessings that you have brought into our lives, that we are in fact the most responsible people, that the outside world, for all the things they can criticize about the church and all the things they can criticize about what we believe, that there would never be an opportunity to criticize us because we were irresponsible. So Father, wherever this lands with us, and I know for some of us, this is so hard to think about, would you please give each of us the wisdom to know what to do? Would you please give us the courage to do it? In Jesus' name, amen.